Blog Talk Radio.
The views expressed on AM 360 by the host, hostesses, or guests are their own and not necessarily the position of AM 360 or the parent corporation, the Community-Wide Shure Conference, CWSC Incorporated. AM 360 content is intended as a community service and is not designed to provide specific and personal medical, financial, or legal counsel or other professional advice, and no liability shall extend to the host or hostesses of AM 360 or CWSC. We encourage you to consult an advisor for your specific circumstances.
Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim, Malik Yawmiddin, Iyaka Na'budu wa Iyaka Nasta'in, Ihdina Sirat Mustaqim, Sirat Al-Ladin and Amta Alayhim, Wairil Maghdubi Alayhim Walad Dalin. Amen. With God's name, the merciful benefactor, the merciful redeemer. The praise belongs to God, the Lord of all systems of knowledge. The merciful benefactor, the sole judge on the day of judgment. We worship you only and we turn to you begging your assistance. Guide us on the straight way, the way of those on whom you bestowed your blessings, not those who incur your wrath, nor those who go astray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much, Imam Omar, for opening us up with Allah's name, the merciful benefactor, the merciful redeemer. How can we bear witness that there is but one God and only, and the one and only creator of the heavens and the earth, the Lord of all systems of knowledge, whom we properly call Allah. I accept all of Allah's prophets and believe that Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings be upon him, is a mercy to all mankind in the seal of prophethood. Assalamu alaikum again to everyone. It's so good to be with you on this Sunday. It's nice to be able to come back into this space and enrich our hearts and minds as it relates to so many different topics. Today, we will hear from our guest speaker, Ian Rashad Shaheed, who will be talking to us as it relates to Islamic Weekend Schools and the work that he's doing down in DeSoto, Texas. We will not do any long bio or introduction. As you all know, you can go to the newsletter to read more about him and the work that he's doing. And so without further ado, Imam Rashad, I'm going to ask you to take yourself off the mute and you can begin your presentation.
Yes. Thank you, Sister Marsha. And assalamu alaikum to all the listeners. It was beautiful to see you all this morning, and you all have such a great spirit. As always, we begin, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. That is, all praises for God, the Lord, creator, sustainer of all the worlds. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wahdahu la sharika la wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan abduhu wa rasuluhu sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We witness that Allah is one and that there is nothing that deserves to be worshipped except him. And we witness that Muhammad, to whom the Quran was revealed, is his servant and his messenger. We pray the prayers and peace be upon our Prophet Muhammad, the noble messenger and the seal of the prophets. Again, it's a pleasure to be with you all this morning. I'm going to go ahead and share my screen now. And so right now you all should be seeing my first slide.
Yes, we can see your slide.
Okay, great. So, as you know from the calendar of events that was sent out, this presentation will be addressing supporting our educational initiatives in our communities, specifically how Islamic schools can support families in their effort to provide students with the tools they need to understand the Quran and the Sunnah of Prophet Muhammad and apply these teachings in their daily lives. We know that the first education, first and primary source for education in our communities or our families, in our family home environments. But it's critical, and I know we understand this, it's critical that our institutions and our educational initiatives in the community provide the type of support that our families need to ensure that our youth develop the type of Islamic identity and the Islamic character that we need to make them balanced leaders in the future. I want to first begin by talking about some guiding principles that are sort of the foundation and basis for how we approach the educational initiative here in DeSoto, Texas. The first is a verse from the Quran, and the verse, I have it actually in Arabic, part of the verse in Arabic in the top right corner. In Arabic, it's Wataqullah, Wataqullaha wa yu'alimukum Allah, and is translated in reverence Allah, and Allah teaches you, and Allah is knowledgeable of all things. And that's Baqarah, 282. We know that's the longest surah in the Quran. And also, this happens to be the longest verse in the Quran as well. It's a verse that was chosen here to speak to the fact that Allah is continuously teaching us, and He is our first teacher. He is the source of all our knowledge. The second is a hadith from Imran ibn Hussein. And we're familiar with this. I'm sure many of us have heard this before. The weighing on the resurrection day of the ink of scholars and the blood of the martyrs. Then, at that time, in other words, the ink of the scholars will weigh more than the blood of the martyrs. And we end with two quotes from Imam W.D. Muhammad. He says, and this particular quote was taken from Islam's Climate for Business Success, the publication. If you work hard, or if you work on education and business, you will not have to walk with your head down. Work on doing two things. One is to educate ourselves in the Muslim community in the proper way, devote ourselves to that. Do that in our homes, in our schools, in our mosques. If you don't have such, then find a way to meet at least in your homes every week and educate your community in Islam, in Quran, in the life of the Prophet. That is our first concentration. Alhamdulillah. So I wanted to set the tone for that. As a foundation. So let's talk about a brief history of the educational initiative here in Islamic Association of DeSoto in DeSoto, Texas. And I'm a new resident of DeSoto, Texas. And so I've become somewhat familiar with the legacy of education here in the city, and of course now I'm a contributor to it. And I received a warm welcome here, I'd say about 2019. And shortly thereafter, the imam here, Malik Muhammad, he invited me, encouraged me to begin participating in the school effort. The Islamic Association of DeSoto, Texas is located in the southwest suburb of Dallas. It happens to be at least a few years ago, I'm not sure if things have changed within the last couple of years, but it was recorded as one of the top 10 in terms of black wealth in the nation some years ago. It was established by a group of community members with roots in the historic Dallas Masjid of al-Islam, formerly Temple No. 48, under the direction of Imam Yahya Abdullah. And between the years of 2005 and 2011, IADT operated a full-time Claire Muhammad School Academy, and that served grades K through 7. At its peak, the enrollment was approximately 50 students. It's important to point out that, you know, most of those students, or a significant number of those students, are still involved with the community today. They're college graduates, they're entrepreneurs, they're professionals, and they participate on some level. And so that's always what we want. We want to see the fruits of our labor and the investment we make come back to make a contribution to our community. I think it's important to point out that the administration of this academy was led by experienced professionals in education. We often are challenged with, the need to have expertise to provide the type of quality education that we want, so that the quality doesn't suffer in our effort to say that we are providing our own education. And so this effort was led by some very experienced professionals. And both of these individuals are still involved. These are just two of many who were involved in that effort, but they are worth mentioning because they are also still involved here today in the Weekend School Initiative. Sister Evelyn Akron, a retired Dallas Independent School District principal and administrator, and Sister Shaniqua Muhammad, who has a master's in education. So fast forward to today, after the school, the academy ceased operating, the community maintained a consistent Weekend School Initiative, and many contributed to that initiative certainly before I got here. But currently we operate on Sundays only, and that's between the hours of 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. at the Masjid. There are currently about 25 members enrolled, and we have an active attendance at around 15 every Sunday. We have begun to encourage our students in order to speed up their learning progress and to take advantage of resources that we have within our community that are easily accessible. We've encouraged them to also be dual enrolled in an Islamic Learning Institute. I think many of you are familiar in this listening audience of the Islamic Learning Institute, which is founded by the late Imam Qasim Ahmed and his wife, Nadia Ahmed. So we have several students who are also participating in that program, and they have remote learning options for learning the Arabic, Quranic Arabic language. Our school term calendar mirrors the public school calendar for DeSoto ISD, and it usually culminates with an end-of-semester program where we highlight some of the learning gains that they've made throughout the semester. We do not have any enrollment fees that are required. We do ask that parents will pay for expenses associated with the textbooks, but I think since for a long time, I think we've only asked that parents pay for replacement texts. We usually will have books donated to the school and provide those to the students. I've included a quick snapshot of our schedule here. Students are expected to arrive between 10:45 a.m. to 11. We have an open assembly where we address the students and kind of set the tone for the day. And then we have Islamic studies followed by Quranic Arabic. So we divide that time in half, essentially, between those two topics. And then we finally close. We have Dua prayer. We usually will have each group share something about what they learned during that day, or address any topics that may have come up in individual classes that we think will benefit the entire group that day. And students are given snacks on the way as they depart from the school. As far as our structure goes, we've got a total of three classes, and we segregate them by age groups. These classes were given unique names by a former instructor, the Mu'akiluns are ages 7 to 10. We know that's a term it means, it comes from a term that means, it points to the intellect, it's the active use of the intellect. We have approximately 7 students in that age group. We have the Khalifas, who are aged 11 to 14, approximately 6 students at this time. And our largest group right now is our teens, our high school group, essentially, the Sabah Kuna, and they're, we expect that that number is always, traditionally, that's always our largest group, at least in the years I've been here. We rely on primarily volunteer support. We've got, at this point in time, 3 primary instructors and a few instructors who are on standby when those instructors aren't available. We try and make sure that the primary instructors have lesson plans available when they're going to be absent, so that it's easy for those substitutes to pick up without much burden on them. We have a parent support group, which is essentially the parents of all of our actively enrolled students that we rely on, we communicate with when we need additional support or we have special activities that may need additional finance, financial support, and they've been very responsive. We also have an 8-member advisory committee, and that's essentially made up of current instructors, former instructors, the imam, and the people who have been involved with the educational initiative in the community over the years. What you're looking right here, in this picture on this slide, this is actually, we'll talk about this later in the presentation. This is a snapshot of some of our young sisters. They're actually participating in an event that was centered around African American History Month, where they were challenged to essentially quizzed on African American history facts. So we use opportunities outside of the school also to keep them involved. So the Clara Muhammad Academy did have a curriculum. Obviously, the weekend school is a much more condensed version of what a full-time school would be. So we base our syllabus for the classes on the weekend school on that curriculum and some of the core topics in that curriculum. But these are topics that you will see in just about any Islamic school that are very familiar and that are essential for forming the basis or the foundation for Islamic learning. In Islamic studies, we cover Tawheed, the articles of faith, Ibadah, which includes Salat and other, worship, forms of worship and rituals, Islamic morals and behavior, the character of Prophet Muhammad, Islamic history, stories of the prophets, and researching Quranic references. I think it's important that we get our students in the habit of when we present issues or they hear issues or ideas come to mind, that they know where to find support for what they, how they should approach that subject or that idea or that, that issue in the Quran. So that's an exercise we incorporate into the classes. For Quranic Arabic, we have Arabic alphabet, the vowels, the sukun, the tanween, the shadda, et cetera. And chronic translation and reading practice. We try and have our students, time permitting, memorize at least one surah per term at a minimum as well. Sometimes that's challenging just because, again, we're dealing with a very condensed learning time frame. And I featured one of the books we have, we use here, Our Faith and Our Worship, which is a part of the ICRA learning curriculum. We'll talk more about that on the next slide. This young man here, you see in this picture, is one of our elementary school students, and he's doing some recitation at an end-of-the-year program that we had about a year ago. So I included this slide as example of not something that we're currently implementing, but something that, you know, I have used as a syllabus for high school students in the past. You know, our community has some very unique identity that we want to see preserved. And again, as I mentioned in the beginning, our focus overall is not just to educate them in Islam, but also to educate them in Islam so that we can produce some leaders who are authentic to the tradition that we come from. So I included this as just an example of something that demonstrates an attempt to be, to produce a conscious curriculum that focuses on our legacy and our experience in America. And you can see some of the topics there. It's very easy to integrate the fundamental principles of Islam with, our history and elements that make us who we are in a very fun way, in a very, very creative way. And so I won't go into much detail about that, but you can see from some of the topics here how that can be a very exciting and different learning experience that our students need. Textbooks. So we use a few different textbooks. As I mentioned before, ICRA Publications has some great textbooks that explain the fundamental concepts, many of the fundamental concepts in the religion very well. And, it's somewhat challenging at times to filter, take the time to filter certain content in the way that we need to filter it to make sure that we're communicating and educating our students in a way that's authentic to our tradition. But, some of these publications is very easy to do. They're very fundamentally sound and it doesn't take a lot of time. So you're looking at, and on the left, you're looking at Jews Amma 30. In the middle, there's a beginning Arabic reading book from the Weekend Learning, Taqwa Prince Publishing. Very inexpensive publications. And then, of course, we integrate some of Imam W.D. Muhammad's publications in the curriculum as well. We give our teachers a lot of flexibility to research topics on their own and then, of course, supplement whatever text they're using with the tafsir of Imam W.D. Muhammad. So the next slide here are just some recommendations. They're in no particular order. But as I think about what has been helpful to us and what has been helpful in some of the communities that I've been a part of, I wanted to share some. Know your community demographics. You know, it's important that we can be very idealistic about, what we want to achieve in education in our communities, because we come from a legacy of strong education. We come from a legacy of do for self. We know what we should be doing ideally. We know that the goal is always to provide a full-time school and to be responsible for the full breadth and depth of education in our communities and to institutionalize our educational effort. But that may not always be realistic depending upon where we are. So we have to know our demographics, know what the age groups are, know what the family demographics are so that we can make sure that we cater to the exact needs and the actual needs of those families based on where we are. And that'll help ensure that we get the type of support we need for those initiatives. Remain flexible. Remain flexible in your teaching styles, your content, and your structure. Sometimes your youth will tell you what you should be placing the emphasis on in their line of questioning. So continue to be flexible. Use effective communication methods. That's not just with the students, but with your support base, your parents. I know myself, I'm not a big fan of text messages. One too many text groups, but it's been an effective way of making sure that we get out the message about the schools and what we need for support here in the city. Explore opportunities for collaboration. I talked about authenticity and, you know, trying to preserve our authentic identity as a Muslim community, you know, in terms of how we craft our educational curriculum. But we shouldn't be afraid to also look for ways to collaborate, you know, with resources that may not be within our community. As long as you have responsible persons who are, responsible oversight, then this can be a very advantageous thing, you know, whether it be bringing in teachers outside of the community or students who are on college campuses. Use resources outside of the community to help support what you're doing. Incorporate leadership development activities. Make sure that you're just not teaching the youth, but throughout the course of the day, make sure that you're involved in leading prayers when the opportunity presents itself. Teaching opportunities such as Tylene are another good opportunity for them to practice what they've learned. Demonstrate your support for the other things they're doing in their lives. You know, sometimes we expect them to be very energetic about showing up at school, but they don't see our faces, you know, when, you know, it's time for them to, participate in, you know, their sporting activities or their music recitals or whatever the case may be. It's important that we show up outside of, and they see us outside of the masjid setting. Another important thing I have here is strive to achieve actual learning gain. So that can be very challenging with the Weekend School Initiative because, again, you're trying to provide a lot of information with a very short window, right? So you have to be very creative. You have to, you know, find ways that work and that are effective to make sure that students are retaining and that they can demonstrate that they actually are making progress in terms of the content. And it's a challenge for us as well, but, you know, we have to hold ourselves accountable to a high standard when it comes to what we're trying to do and trying to achieve with our students. And I think lastly, I will mention this particular slide has a picture. This is an example of what I mean by external camp collaboration. The brother, the instructor in this slide is actually a student of Dallas College. He introduced himself to us over the last couple months. He's pursuing a master's degree in the educational field. He's also done some Islamic studies overseas in Turkey. He is currently teaching a course on logical reasoning with the Quran. Helping students identify, the logical style, identify and relate to the logical style in which Allah presents many of the verses in the Quran. The curriculum involves also introducing students to worldviews, making sure they understand what atheism is, comparing Islamic concepts like Tawheed with the principles of how other religions view God different fundamental concepts, but challenging, again, with the goal of challenging their reason, right? Again, it's an opportunity to plug in a resource that has, you know, enhanced what we're already doing, or has the ability to enhance what you're already doing, and not being afraid to partner, you know, when you have the opportunity. I have a few, just a few shots of some of the activities or moments in the school's initiative. In the middle, we have a sister who's doing a youth talim, and we've got a few shots here of end of the year programming as well. This is our contact information. Islamic Association of DeSoto is on Facebook. You can find us on Facebook. Our Jemaahs are streamed live on Facebook. And we're also grateful if you could, if you have the ability to make donations to our initiative here. This is the information. If you want to contact myself personally, you can contact the email address there. We thank you for listening.
Thank you so much, Imam Rashad, for this presentation. If you can type your email in the chat, that would be helpful for people. And if you can just pick the slide down so we can see you.
Sure.
And so while you're doing that, I just want to thank you for presenting this today. I know that so many times in all of our communities and in our collective community, we talk about how important it is for us to educate our children ourselves, right? And sometimes it feels like a heavy lift because we're looking for the model. And today you presented a model that we could use to get started and to structure out what that school looks like for us. Many of the communities have had, as you mentioned, for DeSoto, Texas, you all have a full-time school. And I know in North we have one, and many different other places, there was a full-time school at once. And once the full-time school went away, it was, I just observed that there was this feeling, or at least it seems that way, of, you know, what can we do because the full-time school is gone? And sometimes when things like that happen, you feel like there's no other option. And so today what you presented shows us that, okay, well, the full-time school is the goal, and inshallah, we all get there. But in the interim, let's not leave the children without something. And that's where the weekend school comes into play. And the way I see it, it's a strategy, right, to get to the full-time school, because at least we have our communities in the frame of mind and on the path as it relates to Islamic education for our children. We just didn't leave it blank. And so I pray that this is motivation for those communities who don't have a weekend school, or who don't have a full-time school either, or to start with the weekend school and then transition along the way. So I really appreciate you for giving this presentation. I don't think we had a discussion, so you probably don't even know. I'm the principal of the Prophet Muhammad School in North New Jersey. And so our full-time school is closed, but the pathway now for us is to start with weekend and then make the transition. So that's just motivation to everyone to say it's possible, and you have to take a step in order to take the second one, right? I have so many notes here, and I'm going to ask everyone who's listening, if you have questions, please put them in the chat so that I can read them, and if you want to ask your question on screen, of course, raise your hand, and we'll bring you on. So I'm just going to read some questions that I do see in the chat. The first one is, are you able to support teacher professional development options for the staff?
Yeah, that's a great question. I would say when I look at the resources we have in our community, the answer is yes. But we're not prepared to do that at this time because we just haven't organized that type of component. But it's a very good point. I think that it's easy to get complacent and to think that we are operating, you know, at a level that we're comfortable with, and then kind of, you know, stay there. But yeah, you know, just like any institution, we want teachers to be at their best. We want the instructors to be at their best, and we want the students to be served with the highest quality. And so, you know, there's that phrase, sharpen the saw, right? And so that's a very good point. That's something that we can definitely, we should be taking into consideration for the future. But no, we haven't rolled out a program like that yet.
And I just wanted to add to that, because there are some groups in our community who do provide professional development for Islamic institutions as it relates to educating our children. And that's what this platform is for, right? For us to make those connections where we don't currently have them. So as it relates to the professional development, I know, so I'm a member of the Clara Muhammad Schools Network. And from time to time, we do have professional development workshops, and the weekend schools are more than welcome. I also know that the consortium has presentations that they do around professional development for the schools as well. And so we'll make sure that we make those contacts so that we're building each other up, because oftentimes things exist in our community, but we're just not connected. So inshallah, we'll get connected. And so the next question is, are other Muslim communities in the region participating in the weekend school?
Well, no, we see most of our members are from our community, from our locale. And that's just because, you know, of the, you know, distance. You know, Dallas is a big city. We're in a suburb that's, you know, south of the urban core. You know, a lot of the Muslim communities are pretty spread out. But we are aware of the initiatives in different communities. And one of the things that I actually had a conversation with an imam earlier this year about just doing visits, you know, picking a day throughout the school calendar to have our classes join another class at another masjid, for instance, to kind of foster those type of relationships and kind of see firsthand what other masjids are doing. So, and that's something, you know, I've done with some of my classes in the past as well. It can be a very good thing, a good way to start off developing those type of relationships. But, you know, generally students will enroll where it's convenient for those families to attend. So it's not unexpected that we predominantly, enrollees are predominantly from this area. And I did mention as well, we talk about regionally speaking, we have to leverage remote learning as well. So when you have a remote learning program like the one being offered with the Islamic Institute, you know, that's an opportunity for us to collaborate as well.
Thank you. So I see another question. I guess part of it you addressed, but I'll ask it anyway. So since DeSoto is a suburb of Dallas, are there any plans to combine students from Dallas and DeSoto in nearby areas to begin a full-time school?
Not at this time. But again, that's something that's worth considering, right? Because we have... our communities are traditionally smaller, and the more resources we combine collectively, the more we can get done and the more we can serve. So I think it's something that our administration is taking into consideration, but again, it hasn't been a, you know, formal push for that just yet. But again, great great way to encourage more collaboration in our communities and make us sensitive to that possibility.
Absolutely. Collaboration is so key, and it's being done in the mainstream. So for us to not think that it's something, a tool for us to make connections within our community, we would be missing a big opportunity. I mean, I often ask people, what are the things that hold us together as a community? And sometimes I reference like the invisible strings, right? Because we often say things like association and all of those kinds of things, but no real solid lines, except that we get on like a study hour forum and we love on each other and we share information, but no real solid lines. And so those collaborations have to happen in order for there to be this display of solidarity with and for and amongst each other in our efforts. So I'm going to go to the next question. It says, is support provided to families, especially parents, to navigate the public school system to get resources needed by their, for their students in the public school? Also, are there any tutoring programs offered by the MassChit to students?
Mm.
That was a twofold.
Yeah. Again, I think that we have to, you know, we have to take those type of needs into consideration. It isn't a part of our weekend school initiative, I would say. You know, right now we're strictly solely focused on Islamic education and supplementing Islamic education outside of the home. It's definitely something we need to have on radar. And I think, it's easier to do that when you have professionals who are, working in either social services positions within your community or are part of the public school system or have been in a part of the public school system, because they need to be well connected. And they need to be able to bridge the gap between, our community and those institutions. So if you have people in the community who served in that capacity in the past or currently serving, I think that's an opportunity, you're better positioned to do that. But no, we're not providing that type of service at this time.
Thank you. And so many good ideas are coming in this chat,
yeah.
Right? The things that are not
yeah.
currently happening that could be happening going forward, not just for your weekend school, but for all of the schools that we have in the community. So these are some good things for us to think about because obviously there's a desire and a need for these things to be happening. The next question is, how did you get parents involved in the weekend school mandatory meeting with them? I think you may have mentioned that a little bit earlier. So how do you get the parents involved? And I'm going to give you a part B to that one, right? I also want to know, how you were able to recruit the students and have them be consistently attending.
Yeah, well, let's be real. It's a challenge. and it's an ongoing challenge. I mean, sometimes you're doing great in that regard, and sometimes you're not. And sometimes you have to try it. You can't be rigid in terms of, forcing a certain way at a given time. You have to be flexible, as I said before. Well, there are a couple of things that you should have that are pretty standard for any school initiative, right? You want to make sure that you have the support of your community's leadership, which we do, and you want to utilize the existing channels of communication that are used for other initiatives, right? When people are most, attending, when attendance is at its best, at the Jumu'ahs, at other events, fundraising events, et cetera, make sure education is being placed as a priority in the community, it should be, addressed in every forum that you're in. Promoted in every form that you're in. The other thing is we want to, prior to this school start of the school semester, we want to make sure that we are communicating our goals and objectives with regard to the week in school. We want to have parent orientation sessions, right? We have written parent agreements that outline the expectations that we have with parents. It's like an informal contract. It's on paper, but it's an informal contract so that you can hold parents accountable when you need to throughout the school year if you're seeing certain things that need to be addressed or you need seeing more a need for more support in certain areas. So parent contracts are good. The outline, written expectations, the orientation is good. And then I think throughout the semester, you want to have certain breakpoints. Progress reports are a great opportunity. The time you issue progress reports are a great opportunity to reengage parents and to make sure they're actively involved and are actively aware of how the student is progressing. And then the buildup to, the end of the year or whatever you have earmarked for a way for those students to demonstrate what they've learned and to get energy around what they've learned. Oftentimes you'll see more support or higher support when you're producing the type of results that our community likes to see. And when parents get to see their children perform at a level that they may not be getting a chance to see at home in the home environment when they're dealing with other issues, right, and other challenges. So those are a few things, but make no mistake about it, it's very challenging. And again, it's not always easy at all. Did I miss the second part of the question?
Well, I asked how do you recruit the students and get them to be consistent? But I think that was sort of interwoven into what you just answered, unless you wanted to add something else.
Yeah, I think it's actually something that we're actually looking at trying some different methods in future sessions to address that issue. Even though we have a very short period of time for learning, I mean, we would expect that to be, pretty convenient and comfortable. We're having some, or we're exploring the idea of doing more intensive sessions where we have less overall sessions in the term, more but longer, more intensive sessions, so that issues with missing a couple weeks between subject matter become less of a problem. I think there's no easy answer. I think you have to sometimes get more on a personal level. Sometimes, think about doing things outside of the masjid, for instance. Hold a social event that's not purely educational but also social to get them reengaged. Just make sure that there are other events that support the type of engagement that you want, that you're asking for them to participate in terms of the school. Make sure you're providing other opportunities to get their energy level up and to, develop the type of relationship that you want with them so that they feel more obligated to be a part of the school, I would say.
Yeah, I like that too. When you were going through the list of, I'm not sure what you titled that, but like the list of recommended things, I really appreciated a lot of things that you had on that list. But one of the things that you mentioned was supporting their interests as well, right? So if the student is on the basketball team at school, like let's all get together and go to their game so that it feels like we're a family, right? We're all in this together. And for me, hearing that was like a, let me put that in my toolkit, right, so that we're able to do that for the children that we connect to, because then they, as you just mentioned, right, there's sort of like an obligation, like, I have to stick with this because they support me when I do this, you know. And so I, that one stuck out to me. I wrote a bunch of notes here on my on my notepad, and I'm trying not to dominate the conversation with those things and make sure that I cover everything in the chat. But when you just mentioned that, it stood out for me. And then just going, so there were a couple of things in the chat. Dr. Rasima Juma, she mentioned having the Islamic schools present at like your state conference or any of the national events that we have, or even regional events that we have in our community, right? Because we have to be in these spaces and on these platforms where the opportunity presents itself to present what we have, and also to glean those resources that are out there, the ones that we're able to use, right? Sometimes it's a hesitancy in approaching anything that doesn't feel Islamic to us, right, on the professional side of things, because it's like, okay, well, that's not an Islamic school convention, that's not that type of event, but if it's covering education and there are resources that you can use, and you even mentioned that earlier, things that can help to benefit our schools, the structure of our schools, the methodology of our teaching, if it's able to be implemented and help our situation, then we should at least explore it. And I like the idea of connecting with the local colleges and universities as well, because you get some younger people, right, to come into the space and be with our students and our communities, and sometimes our students gravitate to that even more, right? Because it's someone a little closer to them in terms of peer. But that goes back to the collaboration, just having more partners. I operate in a nonprofit world, so when you talk about community partnerships, that, you know, that's big for me. But that is how a lot of organizations function, and we should be no different. I have another question in the chat that says, do you accommodate students with IEPs? And so that would be the individual education plan, individualized education plan.
Yeah. I don't think we have any current students who have an IEP. But yes. We're prepared to accommodate students with an IEP. I would have to delve more into, I'd be interested in knowing what specific components of the IEP, are of, you know, of note there. We're speaking more of learning disability or, is there any more detail?
There's no more detail, but okay. I would assume that it would be the learning challenges. And so, but I do remember early on you mentioned that the structure of the school when you all were sort of forming, you had educational professionals who were instrumental in bringing it together. You mentioned two sisters at the very beginning. And so I know that that's vital in making sure that as many of the bases are covered as possible, and as we're coming up with these new ideas and opportunities and the like, these may just be other ways to enhance the programming that already exists.
Yeah, and I think part of being prepared for scenarios like that and, you know, situations like that, where we have to serve unique needs of each student, you know, comes in the enrollment process, right? We want to be able to collect that type of information. And so we'll know who we need to accommodate and the best way to accommodate them. So that enrollment process becomes even more important for scenarios like that.
Okay. And then there was a question in the chat about whether or not you are familiar with the effort to support our schools financially that's instituted by Imam Adam Bayas, 150. We can double check this, but I'm pretty sure that effort is for full-time schools, but we can always double check that. But I just wanted to know if you were aware about that incident.
No, I'm not. So thank you for sharing.
I can get you that information as well. I do have a hand raised, and we're coming up on the hour, but I'm going to give Imam Luqman an opportunity and take him off of mute. Imam Luqman, you can go ahead and ask your question. You should be able to take yourself off of mute. We can't hear you. You should see something popping on your screen asking you to pick yourself off of mute. There you go.
Okay. Assalamu alaikum. Please tell us how serious it is for our children and grandchildren. They must, in this day and time, learn Quranic, Arabic, and also with the tafsir, Imam Warsi Muhammad. Please tell them. It's very, very serious for the present day Imam with our children. This is no playing, this is no laughing matter. And it is serious that we must, and I emphasize, we must, we have to. And I look at all the older brothers like myself and older than I am. You know, look how we sacrifice to learn the Quran, Arabic, with Imam Warsi Muhammad. And I don't understand why is it, how come is it that our children and their children, they're not teaching or getting them because there's so many programs online, et cetera. They must get them involved. I know. So please tell us that. Thank you. Assalamu alaikum. Subhanallah, Shaheed Rashid.
Wa alaikum assalam, Imam, and thank you for the question. Always good to see you. So it goes without question. You know, this is something that Imam W.D. Muhammad emphasized from the very beginning. Not all of the reasons, but one of the reasons why he was able to be so insightful and effective at educating us as a community was because he had a firm grasp of the Arabic language, the Quranic Arabic. He endorsed that as the vehicle for becoming able to better understand how to practically apply the Quran in our lives. And again, we mentioned the Islamic Institute, right? There are ways now that we have that we didn't have before. You mentioned the sacrifice that you all made in terms of learning what you had to do to learn. There are so many excellent tools that technology has provided us with that make it a lot easier. Remote learning, we have recitation online now. We have, again, just so many tools that we can use. There really isn't an excuse that we have anymore for, making the knowledge accessible to our students. And again, we're trying to develop leaders, right? That's the ultimate goal, right? We want to be able to be confident that the next generation of leaders can take us forward, and we can't do that without them having a grasp of language, the Quranic Arabic language. So I'm just underscoring what you've already said, really, I think there isn't any disagreement on that, but you're right. I think it's an example of if a community is not hasn't integrated that into their curriculum or isn't placing emphasis on that, then that's an indication that we're not really as serious as we have presented ourselves to be.
Absolutely. So on that note, I want to thank you for coming before us today and presenting about the Islamic Academy of the Soto Texas. Okay. And giving us a model, again, another model in our community where we can duplicate around the country. We can get these weekend schools started so that it becomes a pathway for us to for us to start our full-time schools, right? We have to start somewhere. And so we thank you for showing us a model that works, one that is functioning, one that has some solid bones, some good bones, right? A nice structure that we can look at and start to put our schools together so that we can be in high school, so that our children can learn Quran, so that they do understand Islam. And that they're not just Muslim by name or, you know, by affiliation, but that they understand Islam and why this is the path and the way of life that we choose to live. So if you have any last words that you'd like to share with us.
No, again, thank you. Thank you for the warm welcome. Thank you for all the questions. And you know, we see the benefit of coming together with people who are devoted to what we're trying to do, right? You know, a lot of great ideas came out of the discussion after the presentation. So I certainly took some notes. And, you know, these should be best practices or things that we should be implementing. Most of the things we suggested here in the Q&A session are great things that we should be making sure that our programs address. So thank you again for the opportunity.
You're welcome. And so thank you, everyone, again, for joining us today for Study Our Islam. It's always a pleasure to be amongst each other and to share as much good information as possible that we can. Remember to keep each other in prayer. Next week, we will be having a discussion on health and wellness. And so make sure you come back next Sunday at 10 a.m. so that we can learn some good practices, the best practices to implement in our lives so that we can have healthy and whole lives. And so with that, I'm going to ask Imam Omar if he can close this out in dua.
Rabbana atina fi dunya hasanatan wa fi akhirati hasanatan wa qina adhaban nar. Lord, give us the excellent of this world and the excellent of the next world, and save us from the torment of hell's fire. Ameen.
Ameen. Until next week, assalamu alaikum.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, with Allah's name, most merciful benefactor, most merciful redeemer. I bear witness there is no God save Allah alone, and that there's nothing worthy of worship or praise except Almighty God, Allah. We are grateful to simulcast with the Study Al-Islam platform from out of Washington, D.C. Praise be to Almighty God. And the invited guest and presenter was Rashad Shaheed. He's the director of the Islamic Weekend School of DeSoto, Texas. If there's any of you that have any statements to make before we sign off, I ask that you press one on your phone. In the interim, I want to invite you to tune in to American Muslim 360, at 12 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for the broadcast Making Healthy Choices. Making Healthy Choices, hosted by Latifa Hameen. Praise be to Almighty God. And attached to that broadcast is the host highlights, hosted by Fleming El-Amin. He will interview two AM360 hosts, highlighting their lives and connecting with the work they do outside of being a host. I am Kareem Hamid. I shall be one of those hosts interviewed. Praise be to Allah. And then following that broadcast at 4 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, we ask you to tune in to Keeping It Real. Talk about it. It is hosted by Lou Princess Aziz. The subject matter is how to deal with trauma. With trauma. Praise be to Almighty God. That broadcast begins at 4 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, and connected with that broadcast is the Contemplations of Imam Waliduddin Muhammad. Let me share with you the content of that broadcast.
Assalamu alaikum. Join us each and every Sunday from 5 to 7 Eastern Standard Time and 4 to 6 Central Standard Time for the broadcast of the contemplations of Imam Waridduddin Muhammad, sharing his insights, his wisdom, and his knowledge here on America Muslim 360, utilizing the books edited by Brother Morocco, Brother Ghani, and Brother Ronald B. Shaheed. So we look forward to your presence as we share the insight, the logic, and the thinking of our beloved Imam Waridduddin Muhammad here on America Muslim 360 on a myriad of subject matter. We look forward to your presence. Assalamu alaikum.
Alhamdulillah. So we have almost a full day of valuable broadcast here on America Muslim 360. I see someone has raised their hand. This is Muhammad. Assalamu alaikum. Muhammad of Columbus, Georgia. Assalamu alaikum. Take your phone off of mute.
Wa alaikum assalam. It's Brother Muhammad from the Ummah of Prophet Muhammad, by the way, of Columbus, Georgia. And through the program you just went off, we thank Allah much that it's going toward getting back to the basics of what Allah has prescribed for us, and also the resources that he gives us to help make it easy for us to do that. It's through the school system. Until we can ask our volunteers in the community of the masjid that you attend to volunteer their services. Like where I live at, I have my imam is a master plumber certified in the tri-state here, a master welder. I have my treasurer is a master carpenter, and my secretary of the bath is a scientist, and an Arabic instructor. Now, he does his job. Every week he has 2 hours or 3 hours of chronic Arabic being taught to the children, anyone who want to attend the masjid. And our imam does not have a class on plumbing, does not have a class on welding, and our other treasurer doesn't have any classes on carpentry. We also have the son of the scientist. He's a master electrician, but he does commute back and forth out to another city, so it's kind of understanding that he doesn't have time to be a part of giving the basic skills of community structure building, financial independence. Say 3 years from now, we started teaching our 11-year-old or 12-year-old men and women. But we should also establish cooking, too. Go back to basics, home economics, and teach our children so that by the time they get 14 years old and summer hard come around, our community can apply for some of those summer school grants to hard children to work and to do things. We could have those children certified by that time. If they start at 11 or 12, you know, the imam or those who are already certified and have master certificates in their jacket, and that's their job. They've been doing it for 30, 40, 50 years. You know, if I can have those children certified by the time they get 14 so that they'll be summer hard students that can work for the masjid had applied for in the government block grants that they give out every summer, the hard kids, and help do things in the larger community, you know, help do this, help do that with our kids. And we develop them the bottom half of their worship. They'll have money. They'll have work ethics. You know, they'll be done learning cooking, electrical, cement finishing, to go along with the academic knowledge that they're learning already, where we all run into. We run into the intellect, but we're getting about our feet. The basic example, what are we going to do with our feet with this knowledge? So I think that would be a good understanding if we could get back to inviting our community members and workers and the ones who are in the material field of working to come in and maybe give a four-hour class on the weekend or something or during the week for the kid instead of supporting them in sport and play, basketball and things. They all pay good money. But look what you got to go with the world. You got to go in to get that type of money and the type of environment we send our children into. And a lot of them fall in love with it because they didn't have the basics of how to do for self, their hands, with their muscles, with their intellect and in their spirit that they're doing it to please Allah. And we're building a masjid. We're building, so I'm just saying after 5 or 6 years, we have a whole community of men about 18, 19 years old already ready to work a $22 an hour job. And they got certified, been certified since they was 15, to where if they do want to go out into the dunya, they can go out and get the top construction jobs, electrical jobs, plumbing jobs, welding jobs, cement finishing, and that is how we get ourselves back balanced, to make sure that what we say out of our intellect, we are living it, not practicing it, but living it in deeds and actions right in our community, and we'll be a model to other religious communities because they're having a hard time right now, too. Their children are chasing knowledge, are chasing their emotions, are they chasing immoral invitation, and they also are losing their skills of how to build a church, how to build a synagogue, how to build this with their own workforce from their own community, from their own synagogue, from their own church, from their own masjid. And we, to get the world to come back to basics in your spiritual worship, to what you believe in, but also the deeds and actions of the rewards of that spiritual worship being taught to the children at an early age. And in closing, I remember when I was in the fourth grade and we had woodworking. We had metalworking in our elementary school. And I remember how I wind up selling a few articles to the neighbor who I made a one thing for my mother, a nice honor which she could stack her books on. And then the neighbor said, can you make me one? Can you make me one? Just supporting the children in their woodworking activities at school. And I wind up selling them. And then next thing you know, when the wood time came around, we start selling wood. By the time I got in the seventh or eighth grade, I was well versed with woodworking and making ironings and things like that out of iron and stuff like that. And it was fun for the kids. It was better than playing sports because they could get something out of it. And they had fun working with those things, with the elements of what Allah has created. So, again, I would say if you're going to start a school, you got to do like we got to do in learning this Quran and learning the life of Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. We got to go back to the basics of the resources that Allah has given us to on this earth to put these sayings into a model example of a balanced human being with good moral character and faith in the Creator. Just want to say that. And thank you much as always.
Mm-hmm. Yes, sir. Alhamdulillah. Wa alaykum as-salam. Thank you, Muhammad. Praise be to Allah. We are at the end of this broadcast of Study of Islam. And for me, drawing from the Quran, the most important subject matter is from out of the Surah Luqman. He asked his son, what will you worship after me? I think that is the most critical element for Islamic education. What will you worship after me? Praise be to Allah, so that we pass on this wonderful way of life that Allah has preferred for us. Praise be to Allah. Alhamdulillah. So we came to you this morning with the greetings of peace. We leave you this morning with the greetings of peace in the Quranic Arabic language. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. May the peace, mercy, and blessings of Almighty God be upon you and upon us all. May it purify our intentions, keep our hearts right, keep up our prayers, remain regardful of Almighty God, Allah, and remain forever grateful and thankful. I bring you now the voice of Abdul Rahman Hatem. We got to be thankful.
Really? As I stumble down the stairs, tiptoe by the bedroom where my children used to sleep. 25 years later, I still pray my Lord their souls to keep. grab my keys, grab my hat, and I head on out the door. Crank up my old pickup truck, get off the work I go. But I gotta be alright,
gotta be alright,
the best that I can. Try and make a difference, cause that's just who I am. I've gotta be strong,
gotta be strong,
and let a helping hand along the way. Try and make a difference each and every single day. But you gotta be thankful,
gotta be thankful,
gotta be grateful for my life and all the things that make my life for the warm rays of sunshine, the stars that light the night, friends I've left forever, and my children and my wife. Now there's a little boy, he lives down the street, who wants to grow to be a man, but life is rough and the streets are tough, and he tries to understand. He said, miss, can you help me? Can you lend a helping hand? Tell me why the life's so rough. Can you help me understand? Well, I think about the days gone by and the things my daddy said, and the wisdom that he shared with me still lingers in my head. He said, you gotta be alright,
gotta be alright,
you gotta do the best that you can. Try and make a difference in any way you can. You gotta be strong,
gotta be strong,
and lend a helping hand along the way. Try and make a difference each and every single day. But you gotta be thankful,
gotta be thankful,
you gotta be grateful for your life and all the things he's given you that makes your life. For the warm rays of sunshine and the stars that light the night, and friends that last forever, and your children and your wife. Back to colors, and I sing the day's last prayer, asking for his blessing for people everywhere, and our sons and daughters who fight in foreign lands, trying to make a difference for their family. But they gotta be alright, they gotta do the best that they can. Try to make a difference any way they can. They've got to be strong,
gotta be strong,
and lend a helping hand along the way. Try and make a difference each and every single day. But they gotta be thankful,
gotta be thankful,
they gotta be grateful for their lives and all the things he's given them that make their life for the warm rays of sunshine and the stars that light the night and friends that last forever and their children and their wives. Yeah, they gotta be thankful.
Gotta be thankful.
Gotta be thankful. on the night. Friends are lost forever, and their children and their wives. Said they gotta be thankful.
Yes, a friendly reminder. Tune back into American Muslim 360 for the broadcast, Making Healthy Choices. Join Latifa Hamin on the subject matter of making healthy choices, followed by the host highlights. And it is hosted by our beloved brother Fleming El Amin. He will interview two AM 360 hosts, highlighting their lives and connecting with the work they do outside of being a host. Praise be to Almighty God, Allah. So we look forward to your presence on this wonderful broadcast, Making Healthy Choices, and hosting two, and pardon me, and sharing the interest of two of our hosts here on American Muslim 360. But there's more to us than just talking on the radio and being a host. Praise be to Allah. We want to highlight our lives and make connections with the work that we do outside of being a host. It is familiarizing ourselves with you. Praise be to Almighty God, Allah. So we look forward to your presence on American Muslim 360, the number one Islamic radio station in the nation and intelligentsia component of the community-wide shoulder conference. I'll see you at 12 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. I leave you with the greetings of peace. Assalamu alaikum. Peace be unto you.